You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I want to speak today about encouragement. Who loves encouragement? Yes, people love encouragement. I love encouragement. I'm going to spend some time teaching on encouragement today. And throughout the scriptures, we see this consistent and repetitive moments of God calling us to be encouraged, but he also speaks to us with encouragement from the scriptures as well. And it's important for us, you know, in the day-to-day to learn to be good at encouragement. It helps us increase our biblical understanding, our conviction of God's truth for our lives, our commitment to activate and understand God's truth when we are encouraged from the scriptures. And so what are we going to learn today? What are we going to grow in today? We're going to learn what encouragement is. We're going to learn what it is to be someone who is encouraged by God. We're going to learn to be someone who receives encouragement. But we're also going to be learning how to be someone who gives encouragement. It's not just good to give it all one way or receive it all one way. It needs to be a well-rounded giving and receiving of encouragement. And so first we're going to look at what is encouragement. Well, I want to encourage you that encouragement is twofold. There is earthly encouragement and there's godly encouragement. Earthly encouragement is, Trent, you look wonderful today. You have shaved and you look so clean and your wife must be really happy. That was like a backhanded encouragement, wasn't it? And then there's godly encouragement, where it's scripturally in encouragement, where you just say, I'm just going to let you know that God is for you. The world can be against you, but God is for you. It's uplifting encouragement, right? And so we're going to look at both of those things today. From our time on earth, from the dictionary, we've learned this, that encouragement is about giving support, confidence, and hope. That's the simplest version of understanding for us today. And if we click on the next screen up the back, you'll see there's all these words that are really similar in regard to encouragement. I'm not going to go through all of them because we'll be here till next week. But when we talk about encouragement from a dictionary point of view, it's important to understand where it comes from and what the language used to look like as well. We look at the Middle English. Who loves Middle English? You shalt love it. Middle English is somewhere between 1066 and 1485 AD. And the word encourage in English used to be spelt with an I-N on the front of it. Did anyone know that? E-N is the French, which still means I-N. But it's important for us to understand that encourage is to put courage into another person by encouraging them. It's really important for us to understand the language around this. It's wonderful if this was the extent and the benefit of giving encouragement and being an encourager, this is beneficial. To be uplifted, to have courage and put into you. To put courage into another, it's about strengthening another, to spur another on by encouragement. And likewise, to be the receiver of encouragement. It's so important to give and receive. Who would agree that it's so wonderful to be strengthened and spurred on and to have courage put into you by another? Who would agree with that? It's wonderful. It makes a huge difference. Now, I want to encourage you also that maybe you're at this stage of life where someone gives you encouragement and you're like, who? That you're trying to dodge it, get out of the way of it. It's like, yeah, no, it's just the Lord, brother. I want to encourage you. God wants to bring healing to that in your heart. When we dodge encouragement, there's some stuff that's gone on. We don't feel worthy of it. We don't feel like we can receive it. God wants to work on that in all of our hearts. You know, that word courage, it means to have the ability to do something that frightens you. See, courage gives way to bravery. And I want to encourage you. It's great to be encouraged by somebody else, but to be encouraged in the Lord is something extra special. We look to the scriptures about being encouraged in the Lord, and I think it's important for us to get a biblically accurate picture of encouragement. I would hate for you to walk out the doors and go, courage is just courage being put into me and it makes way for bravery. I mean, it's great, but it's kind of like self-help, right? Let's look to the scriptures for some biblically accurate encouragement today. See, what happens when the word of God is activated in the spirit of a believer? The ways of God are released in us and through us. That's what happens when God's spirit comes and puts his hand upon us. And from the scriptures we're going to look at today, we're going to find this, that we are called to look to the one who is the benefactor of encouragement and courage. The benefactor. It's God, God the Father. We're called to look to him. He is the benefactor. He is the giver of encouragement and courage. And in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, we see David. And this picture of David was, he was greatly distressed. There was chaos all around him. People were talking about stoning him. The souls of the people that were following at the time were grieved. The people were not in a state of mind in their hearts or their souls to be giving out encouragement. However, they were ready to give out some stones to David. That was the state of their heart. Couldn't give encouragement, but they were ready to just heap upon him stones. And it's wonderful when people around us are dishing out encouragement. They're putting courage into our hearts, into our souls. But what happens when the people around us are silent? What happens when the people are silent? What do you do then? Who do you turn to? What do you turn to? Where do you turn when people aren't dishing out encouragement or they're silent? And this is what David did in 1 Samuel 36. It says this, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, he looked to the one who had spoken promises over him. He looked to the one who had spoken encouragement over him. He looked to the one who had called him. He looked to the one who had never failed him. It's an important lesson for all of us today. When encouragement is lacking from around us, we need to look to the benefactor. We need to look to the one who has never failed us, who will never, ever fail us. And it says in verse 7, as we read on, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. What is an ephod? Has anybody got an ephod? No one's got an ephod. Well, I'm going to encourage you today, let you know, that an ephod is a holy garment worn by a priest. And I encourage you, you do have an ephod today. The holy garment that you wear is Jesus Christ. We all carry with us Jesus, the holy garment. It says in Galatians 3:27, I've got to back it up with the scripture because you'd be like, where'd that come from, Pastor? At Galatians 3:27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We are now clothed with holiness himself. Amen? How good is God? And when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior and follow him through baptism, we are clothed with holiness. In verse 8, it says this, once David was clothed with holiness, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, God answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I want to encourage us. When we are feeling that we're lacking in encouragement, we need to go to the one who's going to speak clearly to us, who is going to lift us up, put guidance in our hearts, orientate us toward the direction that we should be following. We can't do it on our own. We can't make our path on our own. We need to look to the one who wants to encourage us. See, the encouragement that we so deeply need comes from the benefactor of all encouragement. It's God our Father. Amen. It's God our Father. You're clothed in Christ. I want to encourage you, as you are clothed in Christ, inquire of the Lord for encouragement. Encourage yourself, just as David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You have the ability also to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. in times of challenge. Who loves a good time of challenge? 1.5 people put their hands up. In times of chaos, doubt and questioning, when people around us are silent or losing courage and confidence, or they're ready to throw stones, look to the benefactor of courage. Look to him for guidance. Look for him for encouragement. Look for him for a word that he has for you. Without fail, he will restore you. He will recover everything that he has promised to you. Who thinks that's a good promise from the scriptures? Amen. You know, in Hebrew, the biblical word for courage or encouragement is chazak. Anyone Arabic? Good, good, excellent. I'm glad that no one's Arabic because that was a really bad pronunciation. It was close. See, this word means, we look at that word, courage or encouragement, chazak, is to make strong. So this is why we need to look at the biblical meaning of words, amen? To make strong, to repair, to hold on, to restore, to be strengthened, to harden, to prevail, to encourage, to take courage, to be made stronger. So when you read that word encouragement, it means more than just encouragement. See, when you're encouraged by God from the Word of God, from a believer that's clothed in Christ, we're strengthened, we prevail, we're hardened in God. We're made strong. We become stronger. We become courageous. We grow firm. We become resolute in the Lord. Amen. Who thinks that's a good thing? See, we're not talking about hardened in heart. We've been made strong and hardened like a fit athlete in God for the encouragement that he puts into us. He restores your strength. He gives you strength. We're sustained, we're encouraged, we're made strong, we're made bold and courageous. See, when you go to God for encouragement, you strengthen yourself in him. Who knows that in their own ability, we can remain strong for a little while? In our own strength, it's like, yeah, I can handle this temptation, or I can handle this onslaught, but we can only do it by ourselves for a little bit. We need the power and the presence of God in us, amen, to be able to do this. So what comes next when you learn that God is your encourager? When you need to go to God to be encouraged and strengthened to restore to him. Hopefully that's not the end of the story. I mean, that's wonderful, but hopefully that's not the end of the reason for being encouraged in the Lord. Surely this isn't the end of the story. See, by the grace of God, we have some wonderful teaching on encouragement and courage in the scriptures. God speaks to us clearly to be people who cultivate courage and strength. There's some scriptures up on the screen, maybe six scriptures up on the screen for us today. In Psalms 31:24, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. All of you who hope in the Lord. See, we put our hope in the Lord. He's going to encourage us, strengthen our hearts. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. God encourages us to be courageous and strong. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Do you notice that passage of scripture? How many times does it say wait for the Lord? Twice, just in case we missed it the first time. Wait for the Lord. You want encouragement? You want your heart to be strengthened? You want to take heart and courage? Wait for the Lord to speak to you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, when you read that word strengthen, now you understand, I can do all things through him who encourages me. I can do all things through him who makes me grow. I can do all things through him who makes my heart firm and strong. Amen. Let's open up our understanding this morning. Amen. Joshua 1:9. Anyone familiar with this one? Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. And the last one, Hebrews 3:13. But encourage each and encourage each other every day while you still have something cool today. Help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. Encouragement. It's like a spiritual antibiotic to stubborn sin and resistant self. It really is. Now, obviously, the first thing we need to get rid of sin is who? We need Jesus. We need salvation. But for that stubborn resist, those things that just hang on just that little bit, we need encouragement from God and we need encouragement from each other. Who loves a good bit of accountability? Thanks, Carrie. Accountability is good. And it's not about being like, God, don't do that. So say, hey, come on. We're moving this way together. That's the old life. You've got the new life. You're clothed in Jesus. Let's keep moving towards what he's got for us. Three things that can sabotage a biblical culture of encouragement. I think it's really important for us to actually... These are just three things that I've looked at from the scriptures. One, authenticity. When encouragement is less than genuine, it does the opposite. When you... People are like, you're just trying to butter me up. It's like, what do you want? It's less than genuine. We need authentic, scripture-orientated, word from God encouragement. Second thing, ulterior motive. The encouragement is given to get something in return. Anyone ever had that happen before? I've had that happen before. It's not the prettiest. It sabotages a biblical culture of it. And the last one. Control. The encouragement is used to control the goodwill of good people. It sabotages what God wants to do within a local body of believers. See, we need to be people who give encouragement to others that was established in us while we were waiting on the Lord. In those times of just being with God, and God just downloads encouragement into us through the scriptures, speaks to us. That's the things that we want to be encouraging the people around us with. So we're called to give encouragement that is as holy as the Christ that we are clothed in. Amen? The reason to edify the body of Christ, to uplift the people around us. Let's talk about receiving encouragement for a little bit this morning. Now, one of the greatest things that you can do besides being a giver of encouragement is learn how to receive encouragement. And you notice I said to learn how to receive encouragement. For some of us, it doesn't come overly natural. For others of us, they're like, just give me more. Keep it coming. Just pour it out. Pour it just like a vase. Let it run down my beard. See, I'll go as far as saying that if you can give encouragement but not receive it, there's a work that God wants to do inside you. See, remember the purpose of giving encouragement. It's to strengthen one another, to grow one another, to firm up what is in another, to make stronger, and lastly, to repair and restore what is in people. When someone gives you encouragement, that's biblical, scriptural encouragement, it brings restoration and repair to what's happening within your soul, within your mind. We all need it at different times, different seasons. We go through challenges. Life gets hard. Things happen. We need encouragement from the people around us that lifts us up, repairs and restores our hearts. See, if you find it hard to receive encouragement, the question I have for you today is what needs to be repaired and restored? I'll preface it with this. You're not broken. You're saved and redeemed. God has set you apart. You're sanctified, clothed in Christ. But what needs to be repaired and restored so that you can receive the encouragement that comes from God the Father? See, more often than not, where there has been no encouragement or extensive discouragement, it's hard to receive encouragement when those two things have been present. When trust has been broken over and over again, encouragement becomes hard to receive. And it's essential. I say it's essential to become someone who knows how to receive encouragement from the Lord and others. See, King David, he was a receiver of encouragement from the Lord. It opened up doorways to victory. God's encouragement in your life can open up doorways to victory, just like it did for King David. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. I want to encourage you. You might look at what's happening in your world right now. It's like, it's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't know what to do. I want to encourage you. God wants to work all of those things together. He wants to bring healing and restoration and work it together for his good and your good. Amen. You know, in that passage I read out earlier, Joshua 1 verse 9, you know, to be strong and courageous in the Lord, you must learn to receive encouragement from God and others. I agree. It can feel awkward. Does anyone feel awkward sometimes when someone gives encouragement? It can feel like that sometimes. It really can. But you need to persevere. See, this week I had two very specific occasions where people came and gave me some encouragement. The first encouragement, it resonated with me deeply. It was really easy to receive. Why? Because I knew the person really, really well. They were someone who I trusted, and I knew them well, and I knew their heart. There was no ulterior motive. There was no buttering up. It was just they came and sought me out, made a beeline for me, and I was like, I received that encouragement. Thank you so much. And the second person, it came from someone that I didn't know. Now, I received it, but I definitely didn't receive it as well as the first person. It was harder. I didn't know them. I didn't know them. I didn't know them at all. It was just like someone. I was in a lift, I was like, oh, this is different. See, I'm leaning into that awkwardness. I don't want to get stuck at that place. I want to learn how to receive encouragement from people that I don't know. As long as it lines up with the Lord's will for my life, I'll receive it. If it doesn't line up with the Lord's will, then we'll just thank you very much. See, God is strengthening me in this area. God is restoring me. God is making me strong and courageous in this area. But I need to lean into it. What does this look like for you? What's it look like? Maybe you haven't put thought to it before. Maybe encouragement bounces off you. You've been called and commanded to be strong and courageous, to be built up on the Lord. You've been called to allow encouragement to grow on the inside, but it's like boom, boom. Can I make a better boing, boing? Yep. It just hits you and just bounces straight off. I want to encourage you. Just get yourself with God. Wait on the Lord. Let the Lord begin to encourage your soul, encourage your spirit, encourage your mind. Let him begin to grow your heart. Lean into it. Don't back away from it. Don't run away from it. It's time to flip the switch. It's time to flip the switch. What is it that God wants to heal and restore in you today so that encouragement can grow within you? The last thing I want to talk about today is to give encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this. You can't get much clearer in this, by the way. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. This is a message from the Apostle Paul. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. If that's not crystal clear, what God wants for his church, I don't know what is. See, Paul is teaching us in this very moment in 1 Thessalonians that if we are those who have received salvation through Jesus Christ, to be alive in Christ and to be people who encourage and build up people around us, not a hint of discouragement, just to build each other up, encourage each other. Correction that encourages? Yes. Encouragement that builds up? Yes. Encouragement that builds up and restores and strengthens? Absolutely. This is the heart that needs to be in the body of Christ at all times. Who would say that that's always true? Yeah, it's not always true, is it? It's not always true. But this is what we're talking about it today. It may not always be true, but I tell you what, from this moment on, where are we aiming? To be a body of believers that always builds up and always encourages each other, that edifies the body of Christ. Not a hint of discouragement. Romans 15:2 says this, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Now, right now, you're probably thinking, I don't even like my next door neighbor. Well, it's not quite exactly what it's talking. It could be. This may be God speaking to you about your next door neighbor. But it's talking about the people who are always next to us. People that are always around us. We walk into a shopping center, someone's standing next to us. What do I need to do to actually help build the people up around me in my workplace, in my school, my university, in the club that I'm involved in, the people that I serve in my community, the people that come into the community pantry on Fridays? How can I build these individuals up so that they're edified with the encouragement that Christ has put into me? Build them up. Build them up. So I believe that this encouragement is the next building block for our congregation. This is the next building block for our congregation. It is going to strengthen us. It is going to make us look more like Christ. This is something that we are going to focus on for forever until the Lord comes, to be encouragers who speak hope, who speak the word of God into each other, who nip discouragement in the bud. It's like, nope, not going there. Brain starts to trail off. Nope, that's not, I'm clothed with Christ. Can I encourage us that more often than not, we start to speak badly about people when we don't have face-to-face conversations with them first? We let it grow. We let it grow inside of us. I want to encourage you, if things happen, and things will happen, because we're just people, saved, redeemed, but we come in with a little bit of deprived sleep some days, and it's like, I can't believe my coffee took 2 minutes and 36 seconds. 2 minutes 30 is acceptable. 2 minutes 36 is we need a new barista. Come on. Thank God that we have people in our church that are prepared to go into the cafe and make coffee for us, to serve us as the Lord has served them. Amen. We rejoice in it. Thank you, baristas. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, team, who go in there and do that for us. We wouldn't survive if it wasn't for you. This is the next building block. A people of godly encouragement. A people that build up. A people that restore. A people that strengthen others. This is who we're called to be. You know, Paul finishes this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 28, he says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And you read that and you're like, oh, isn't that lovely? It's just the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. But when you understand what the words mean, it means something completely different. What it means is the power and ability of Jesus be with you to fulfill what God has set before you. The power and ability of Jesus Christ that you're clothed in, who resides in you, the same power that raised him is in you. May that power and ability of Jesus be with you to fulfill what God wants to do through you and in this city. See, God has given you the power and ability to encourage each other, the power and ability to build each other up. I want to encourage us. Let's water it. Let's water it. How do you water it? Action. It's planted this morning. How do we water it? We need to bring some biblical encouragement. We need to build each other up. We need to speak over each other well. Amen? See, the greatest encouragement that you will ever receive is the encourager himself dwelling in your heart. That's the greatest encouragement you will ever receive. What do I mean by that? When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus and we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we say, I am in my sin. Come and save me, God. I call on the name of Jesus. The encourager comes and dwells within you. That's a moment of salvation, a moment of redemption, a moment of being connected back to God, our restorer and savior. See, that's a day of victory. That's a day of encouragement, a day of victory. See, Jesus sacrificed himself for our sin so that we can be known by God, our savior. The Spirit of God dwells in us. See, in John 14:16, it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener." Wasn't that one of the words that connected to encouragement? I'm pretty sure it was. Wasn't that one of the words that connected to courage? I'm pretty sure it was. God gives us the encourager that dwells in us. But it's not just for us. The Spirit that dwells within us is made to pour out of us as well, amen. See, and the promise is that he may remain with you forever. The encouragement remains with you forever. See, the Holy Spirit has many roles that he fulfills, as you saw on that screen. One of them is strengthener. He encourages us in our spirit. It's one of the promises that Jesus has for anyone who acknowledges that sin separates them from God. Calling on the name of Jesus is the only way to be restored back into relationship with God. In Romans 10 verse 9, it says this, you may have heard this before. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's God's promise to each and every single one of us. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you're separated from God because of your sin, there is an opportunity for you right now to be known by God. This is your moment to acknowledge that God sent Jesus into the world and Jesus walked without sin. He went to the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is what I'd love us to do this morning. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of confessing our sin to God and receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him, this is your moment of victory. This is your moment of freedom. This is your moment to be known by God. This is why the church exists on planet Earth, that people may be known and restored to God. Amen. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer after me this morning. The whole church is going to join us. Let's bow our eyes, bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, to the grave, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I acknowledge my sin. I repent. From this moment, I choose to follow you. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that you raised Jesus. From this day on, I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.